Please turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. By way of introduction, in a Peanuts strip, Lucy once grumbled to poor Charlie Brown about the awful New Year she was having. She complained that problems abounded and she felt that difficulties were around every corner. Then she said, "I don't think this is a New Year at all. I think we've been stuck with a used year." Oftentimes, do you feel that way? This is a reoccurring year, reoccurring problems. Today, of course, is the first Sunday of the new year. The beginning of the new year tends to be filled with what? New Year's resolutions. Anybody have New Year's resolutions? Anybody? All right, I think we all tend to have some sort of resolution. We all tend to, with the change of the new year, we all tend to consider this new year as we're going to do something maybe a little different than we did last year. Or I'm going to try to do something in a way that will be better. There's things that it's kind of just the nature of how we work. What, if anything, are you resolving to do? Maybe exercise more. All right. Right now, you don't want to be exercising outside. You'll freeze to death. What about eating healthier? How about spending more wisely? How about being a better spouse, being a better parent, grandparent, employer, employee? Some things that we tend to do. How about some spiritual resolutions, such as maybe reading the Bible more or praying more? How about spending more time with the Lord? There's a lot of different things that we can resolve to do. And if you have some time, I encourage you, look online. There's Jonathan Edwards had a list of things he resolved to do each year. Different godly men resolved go through and I resolve to do this year. You consider Scripture and you think of the book of Proverbs. And if you go through and make your New Year's resolutions based upon what you see in Proverbs, well, you can do pretty good. There's a lot of things in the book of Proverbs. Say even Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I will resolve to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I will acknowledge God. And I know that He will direct my paths. There's things that we can resolve to do. Looking in your bulletins, you see the James passage down at the inside right-hand portion. You see, we plan to do things, but ultimately need to be, if the Lord wills, let it be God's will as far as what we do. We have just closed the book on the year 2013, have we not? As we look back on this past year, I trust you can see great ways in which God has blessed you and your family. Can we all say that God has been a blessing last year? There are things that He has done. He has been such a blessing. He has blessed me, and we should be able to look back and say, this is an area He's blessed me in. This is what He's done. We should be able to look back on last year and see God's hand as He's brought us through the year. We should be able to see significant spiritual growth in our lives. The new year gives us that opportunity. Really, we should be doing this throughout the year, but this really is a natural time in which we can look back and consider things. A new year lies before us as a new book being cracked open for the very first time with the pages left blank, or what will happen is written in invisible ink, and only as we go through the year will we see that invisible ink come to life. We'll see the reality of what our year is going to, how it's going to unfold. So what is contained in this book for 2014? How high will the peaks be and how low will the valleys go? Only God knows. But that's a good thing. That's a great thing. It can be an overwhelming thought to consider these unknowns, can it not? But there's some things that we can hold to as we consider consider these things. Someone once observed that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. As God gives us life, each one of us starts the new year with the same number of opportunities. We have 365 days. Now we have less. Of course, we're on the fifth of the year. We have the same number of opportunities that we can choose to either use and invest in eternal things or allow to drift by without taking advantage of the gift that we have been given. The difference between those who succeed and those who fail is not found primarily in talent, but in our diligent effort. How diligent are we going to be this year? How diligent and faithful are we going to be this year for the Lord? Talent rarely has, it plays a role, but not to the degree that it needs to. Because many of us will say, I don't have any talent. Well, you don't have to have talent to make a good year that you are investing in eternal things. So how can this year be successful? How can we be successful in this new year? The Bible has a good way of helping us. Turn back to Joshua chapter 1, if you will. It's interesting, last year we were starting out the book of Joshua at this time. But it's very fitting to go back there and consider just a few verses. As Christians, how can we honor God each and every day of this year and not fail Him? The Bible has the answer for us. In the beginning of this book, you look in verse 5. What does God say? The second part of it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's great, isn't it? That's great for Joshua. I'm glad he got that God spoke to him that way. But what about us? Did he speak to us that way? Yeah, well, yeah, he sure did. What about Hebrews 13, verse 5? Speaking of being content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, faithful is he that has called you who will also do it. Over and over and over again, God promises to us His faithfulness. He's given us the indwelling Holy Spirit that will never leave us. That's God. If God's indwelling you, He's never leaving you. He can't leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be faithful and true to His promises. How can we be successful in this new year? We will get to Philippians here in just a moment. But as we consider I find it fascinating how God works. By His grace, in His way, we are at Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. It's a very fitting passage for the new year. We will see that here in just a moment. But just as it talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, how can we be successful in that? Well, the Bible tells us in Joshua, if you're still there, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 here. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, what? Success. You want to be successful this year? What does it say? Be diligent in the Word of God. Be obedient to the Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God. Do what it says. Obedience. Philippians chapter 2. Today we'll look at a servant's heart being explained. And obedience is key. Obedience is key. Paul has been preaching about faithfulness, has he not? He finished off chapter 1 preaching about faithfulness. And in chapter 2, there is that, you can pull in the idea of faithfulness into this passage, but the emphasis is on serving others, humility, being fruitful in our Christian life. That's success. How fruitful are we going to be in this new year? As a child of God, how fruitful are you resolving to be? Is one of your New Year's resolutions, I will be more fruitful this year than I was last year as a child of God? In spiritual things. Will you resolve to do that with me this year? Will you resolve to be more faithful this year than you were last year? Faithful in what? Faithful in church attendance, faithful in reading your Bible, doing your devotions, faithful in prayer, faithful in your walk with the Lord. Where does that end? Will you resolve to be more faithful this year than you were last year? Do that with me, will you? And let's hold each other accountable. Let's go together. Let's be faithful together. Let's resolve to be faithful together, and therefore let's resolve to be fruitful together. Our faithfulness in private leads to fruitfulness in public. We see that. We know that. Let's resolve to be faithful in private, and therefore giving ourselves the opportunity to be fruitful in public. So the last message we looked at, verses 5 through 11 of chapter 2, we considered a few things, and two of those things, we considered the mindset of Christ, and we considered the motive of Christ. The mindset of Christ, rather, he was thinking of others. He did not hold on to his deity to the point where he refused to come down and meet our greatest need. He was thinking of others. He served others. He had a servant's mindset. He came down to serve us with the gospel. He came down and sacrificed himself for us, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he came down with a motive of glorifying God. There you see a great example of a servant's heart. Now today, we continue on with verses 12 and 13. The Lord has led to break up verses 12 through 18 into two parts. But as we've seen Christ in verses 5 through 11, take this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the example that has been set before us. What do we do?
How about here's another resolution? As Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Follow my lead. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Let's resolve to follow Christ more faithfully. Let's resolve to be meek and lowly of heart. Let's resolve to enjoy the rest that God desires for us to have. How about this? Let's resolve, as Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's resolve to deny self. Let's resolve to deny self more this year than last year. Now, when you get to the end of 2014, you're not going to be able to quantify and say, well, I only attained meekness of 10 last year, but this year I attained 20. We can't do that. But I trust we should see growth. We should see increased faithfulness. We should see denying of self in a greater way. For whose honor and for whose glory? For God's. So today, let's look at a servant's heart being explained. Let's look first in verses 12 and 13 that there's a call to action. There's a call to action here. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll look at a change of character in verses 14 through 18. But in this call to action, Roman numeral 1, there's a command to be obedient. What did God command Joshua to do? Obey my word. Paul's commanding the Philippian church here, be obedient. Just as you have been obedient in the past, what does he say? Wherefore, my beloved, my loved ones, as ye have always obeyed in the past, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. As you have obeyed, he's saying, continue. By working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wherefore, points us back to the example that Christ set for us in verses 5 through 11. Based upon these truths, do this. Based upon what Christ has done for you, follow his lead. You see there once again that diagram. We are to serve God in how we serve others. Our relationship with the Father. We are to be his doulos, his servant, his bondservant, one who is responsive to his will. And if we're responsive to the will of God, then we will be obedient to Him. Let's resolve to be more obedient to God than we ever have been. And in turn, as we're obedient to God, we will be responsive to the needs of others. We will be a diakonos as we should be. We will be able to meet others' needs as we're being obedient to God. And in turn, glory will be given to God. Because we're doing it all for His glory in the first place. We want to obey Him. And we want to serve Him in how we serve others. Let's resolve to serve others more this year than we ever have. Let's resolve to be obedient to our God. Let's resolve to give Him more glory this year than we ever have. As ye have always obeyed. The word obeyed, it literally means to hear under. When you think of hearing, you think of listening with intention. But when you listen to something, Proverbs tells us about having an obedient ear. An obedient ear is listening with the intent to do. Obey here is hearing in submission I'm listening, seeking to submit to the commands of another. And ultimately, these are the commands of God. It's an attitude of readiness. I'm here waiting and ready. I want to listen. I want to receive. I want to do all that You are calling me to do, Lord. Help me. With the example that we see in verses 5 through 11, how can we consider anything less than obedience to God's will as an acceptable service? How can we, as we consider all that Christ has done for us, how can we consider anything less than full-out obedience as a reasonable service? Paul, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, I beg you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least that we can do based upon all that He has done for us. So with this command to be obedient, consider we need to be obedient with faithfulness. He says, in my absence. In my absence. As Christians, we are called to be in a state of faithful readiness, ready to sacrifice self in order to do what we are called to do. What is God calling you to do? What is God commanding you to do that you have in the past, say last year, you said, I don't know. Let me check the context on that and let me understand more of the culture and see maybe there's a way I can get out of doing this one. We do that. Don't we? Oh, that only applies to... Let me find somebody. Right? That doesn't apply to me. Oh, I'm glad they're here because that really applies to them. We somehow justify, don't we? We somehow make an excuse as to why I don't have to be obedient to that one. We need to sacrifice self. There's specific things that God clearly is calling us to do that we're not doing a lot of times, is He? God is always watching. Humble obedience is serving others even when no one sees or even knows that we served. Too often times we're in it for self-glory. And that's not service at all. That's not a servant's heart. Let's be faithful in the absence of the one we're seeking to please. When nobody's looking, let's be faithful. Let's resolve to be faithful when no one's around and no one's going to give me credit. Let's resolve to be faithful. Let's resolve to be obedient. Let's be obedient with diligence. Let her be. With diligence, work out. Work out. This verse has been taken in doctrines and denominations. Heretical doctrines and denominations have been formed on this verse. Work out your salvation. Work to get saved. Work to stay saved. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about diligence, working out. But salvation there is not talking about justification. Justification is being made right, is being reconciled to the Father. That's a one point in time event that never has to be redone. Because it's not about me working to be saved, it's working because I am saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Clearly in Scripture, over and over and over again, we see the reality that it's not of works. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great reality that it's not of works? Because if you could work to get it, you could work to lose it. You could mess it up. And I'll be the first to admit, If that was reality, I would have lost my salvation 1,001 times and would have had to get re-saved and re-baptized. I'd be in the tank all the time. Down and up. Okay, I messed up again. Down and up. Here we go. What would happen? I drowned. And it's too cold to do any baptizing right now, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, it's once and for all. Because it's not on my merit that I was saved. It's on the merits of Jesus Christ. And that's precious. That's precious. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's all God's work. But God calls us to work. Consider this. Consider someone who has been given a gold mine. And the reality is this mine has a lot, an immeasurable amount of gold in it. Great. It's got great value to it. What does it take for you to realize the full value of that mine? Come on. Here we go. You just sit around and wait for it? No, you work. You got to work for it. You've been given the gift of salvation, but we need to work it out. And that idea of working it out, it's like someone in math class who has an equation. They have to take it through the proper process to reach the necessary conclusion. You got to work to get the answer. Salvation. We work out our sanctification, don't we? We need to be diligent in our sanctification. The process of becoming more like Jesus. It takes work. There's effort involved. The process of sanctification must be worked out in order to bring out the proper conclusion of living a life that is pleasing to God. Do you please God just by sitting around doing nothing? There's diligence that we must go through. We must be diligent in our life for Christ, don't we? Be diligent in your sanctification. Jude, verses 20 and 21, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Jude's talking to these believers. He's saying, build up yourselves in the most holy faith. That's effort. Encourage. How do you go through and build up in the most holy faith? What do you have? It's calling for action. Do something. Working out your own salvation. Notice this says your own salvation. Oftentimes as Christians, we depend upon our spiritual mentors and our spiritual leaders and other people who have done the study. We just listen to what they have to say, but we're not diligent in our own study. Let us resolve this year not to negate how that God has blessed us with people who study the Word of God. Let's not negate their influence. But let us be diligent to work out our own salvation, our own sanctification. Let us resolve to be diligent in our own study this year. Can we do that? Be faithful in your own time with the Lord. Be faithful in your own devotions. Be faithful in studying the Word of God. Be faithful in praying and submitting to God, being obedient to Him. Because what happens when that spiritual mentor leaves? What happens when God takes you and God causes separation between the two of you? What happens? Is your faith going to fall apart because they're not here? We need to be diligent in our own sanctification, our own walk with the Lord. consider like a marriage. You have to work at your marriage. You don't have to work at your marriage to be married. You work at it to enjoy the blessings of marriage. Well, working out our own salvation, we work at it. We're diligent at our marriage, our sanctification. Why? There's great blessings for us to enjoy that we would never realize or enjoy if we just sit as a bump on a log. Let's be diligent. Then it says, it closes this verse, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling is used to describe we need to work out letter C with great care. Fear and trembling is used to describe the anxiety of one who distrusts his own ability to meet all the requirements and his natural inclination to sin. He realizes that I am naturally inclined to sin. My bent is to sin. It's learning to distrust self. If left to me, I'm going to fail. I need help. It's learning to be dependent upon God. Commentator wrote these words, this fear and trembling, it's not slavish terror, but wholesome, serious caution. This fear of self is a fear of self-distrust. It is taking heed lest we fall. It is a constant apprehension of the deceitfulness of the heart. It is the caution and circumspection with timidity shrinks from whatever would offend and dishonor God and Savior. Fear and trembling. Reverence for God causes a response. I can't do this on my own. Lord, help me. You are so worthy of perfection and I don't even come close, but I need your help because you're calling me to be obedient. And I can't do this on my own. I need you, Lord. Help me. Do you realize you're bent towards sin? Or if you're honest with yourself, you realize you are going to go your own way if you don't get any help from God. So we see what's going on here. We see as Paul is talking to the Philippian church, he's saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But isn't it great? It doesn't end there. There's a command to be obedient, but then Roman numeral 2, there's confidence to be obedient. What's the confidence that we see here? Why can we be confident in being obedient? Because it's not all about how much work I do. I'm not mining my gold mine just with my own brilliance and trying to dig at it with my hands and clawing and trying to get in there with the gold. It's not my own effort solely. Why? What has God done for us? For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Let's resolve to be obedient to that responsibility of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But understanding that I need the energizing work of God to help me do what He's calling me to do. And be confident. I can work out my salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. These two verses are great. And they're right there, nice, tight together to help us to not go down a heretical path. It is all about you, but it's not. Let God help. For it is God that works in you. He energizes you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. active. God is active in our sanctification, is He not? Isn't that great? Rely upon Him to help you be obedient. As believers, we have the responsibility to work out our own salvation, but it is through the working of God in us that we are able to accomplish what He calls us to do. Isn't this a beautiful passage of Scripture that God doesn't just leave us hanging at the end of verse 12 and say, get to work! And if you don't do what I say, then you're going to get it. Work, 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 and then work some more. And oh, by the way, you're going to fail, but keep on working. We see the great love of God as He says, I am going to energize you to help you do what I'm calling you to do. That's the grace of God. That's the love of God. Our God loves us beyond measure. It is His energy that we are able to faithfully minister as His servants, as His doulos, as His diakonos, I should say. We are serving Him. And because we're serving Him and He's energizing us, we're able to serve one another. That's the reality. Without His working in us, how can we serve each other? How can I come alongside you and help you where you need it most? How can I be a servant to you if I'm in it for me? But if God's working in me, saying, hey, careful. It's not about you. You meet their needs for my honor and glory. It's not about you. We need His working in us. 2 Corinthians 9:8, for God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What are the good work? What's the good work that God has called you to?
You a husband? You a wife? Well, there's a big work. There's a good work that God's called you to. Be the best spouse you can be. Resolve to be the best spouse, the God-honoring spouse you can be. Are you a parent? Well, there's a great work. That's a good work, isn't it?
Resolve to be the best parent that you can be, the God-honoring parent that God is calling you to be. Are you a child?
Well, if you're breathing right now, you've been a child at one point. Maybe you're just a big child now. You have parents. Your parents have gone before you. Be the best child you can be. By God's grace. You an employer, you employee, a grandma, a grandpa. You a friend. The good work that God has called you to do is live for Him, to His honor and to His glory, and serve your neighbor as yourself. Love them. Agape them. Sacrifice self as Christ sacrificed Himself for us. Let us sacrifice ourselves for one another for the honor and glory of God. But God is able to make all grace abound towards you. All grace, because He is the God of all grace. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Everything that God is calling you to do, God is saying, I am right here and I am going to work in you to do what I'm calling you to do. But in order for the grace to be abounding in my life to help me do what He's calling me to do, what must happen? 1 Peter 5:5, God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself so that God's grace will abound so that you can do the good work that He has called you to do. It all works together. God's not calling us to do all of this on our own. Resolve to do, but resolve to rely upon God. Be dependent upon Him. We must never lose sight of the necessity of the grace of God
in our working out our own salvation. We must never lose the necessity. We need God to help us. Consider once again the gold mine. What powerful tool do they use to help mine the gold? Dynamite. That's power. Guess what? Who's indwelling you? The dynamite of God. The power of God is indwelling in you to help you do what He's calling you to do. In the Greek, it's dunamis. Dunamis. Dynamite. The power. Power that you can't contain that power. God has the tool to help you do what He's calling you to do. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. John chapter 14, Christ promises that the Holy Spirit will come. The Comforter. As we cooperate with the Spirit, being Spirit-filled, our desires and our determination will be changed. As we can have confidence to be obedient because God energizes our will and He energizes our work. It's God that works in you. He energizes you both to will, to desire, and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure is that you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And God gives you the desire to do that, and then He helps you to do it. You're not in this alone. Make the resolution. Lord, I resolve to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling this year by Your grace, in Your power, with Your strength. Help me to be Spirit-filled. Help me to not forget that I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And it's not just because you have brothers and sisters in Christ that are going through the same thing. It's because you have the power of God dwelling within you. God is so good to us. God is so good to us. God's good pleasure, His perfect will. What is God's will for you? 2014. There's some definites that you automatically know. He wants you to draw closer to Him. That's His will. He wants you to be more like His Son Jesus. That's His will. He wants you to serve others. That's His will. He wants you to love one another. That's His will. He wants you to pray being Spirit-filled so that you can have powerful prayer life. That's His will. And there's individual aspects that God will reveal to you about His will. Decisions you are to make. Who specifically you are to drop everything for to go and help. There's a lot of things that God has for each one of us this year. And how are we going to be faithful to Him? Are you willing to resolve to do all to His honor and glory by His grace? Don't forget about it. Let's rely upon Him. But let's be obedient to Him as His Son was obedient to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this time and Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for these two precious verses that we have before us here. Lord, we love You. We want to honor You. We want to do all to Your honor and glory. We want to be obedient to You, Lord, but we need Your help to do that. So Lord, I pray You'd help us to submit. To submit to You, to submit to Your will, and in turn, be able to serve others in a way that would honor and please You. Help us, O God. Thank You for what You are doing and what You will continue to do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.